Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. So today we're going to talk to Dr. Jeff Gross, who's a neurosurgeon. He's doing amazing things with bioregenerative therapies and stem cells. He is from San Diego. He successfully treated 95% of his neurosurgical patients without surgery. He does have an active practice in neurosurgery with his focuses on spine, and he is helping people from all around the world who've had unsuccessful surgeries elsewhere. He's currently practicing in San Diego. He also volunteers in Southern Nevada Health District, and he's a controversial champion, and he's fighting for everyone to have access to ethically derived stem cells, products that will be bioregenerative. I think we're going to learn so much today about misconceptions about stem cells. He's an invited speaker and lecturer at the biohacking conferences and anti-aging events. And he's also author of a spine chapter of a medical textbook on regenerative stem medicine published in 2022. So welcome to the podcast, Dr. Gross.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You have helped thousands of people just avoid surgery. Like, how did you begin your journey in neurosurgery and spine care?
Well, I was interested in the nervous system in college, and I have background in biochemistry and molecular biology, but I knew I wanted to go into the nervous system, and I knew I wanted to use my hands as a surgeon. So neurosurgery was sort of a natural fit. And then maybe a couple years into my residency of neurosurgery, I got interested in the spine aspect of neurosurgery because the spine is so complex, and it really takes a Sherlock Holmes approach to figuring out the source of pain and problems, and a lot of that's lost in today's sick care, cookbook systems. So it was just a natural for me. I like to dig into hard problems and puzzles and figure them out.
Interesting. And then I think you deal very closely with stem cells for patients. Can you describe your process? How are you harvesting or procuring the stem cells? And are they
Right.
autologous? Are they from another source?
Right. Well, this is over the last 6 or 7 years. So, my patients have inspired me to add regenerative medicine or stem cell-based medicine as a tool in an effort to help them not have surgery, because there's way too much surgery being done on the spine, and as a result, it gets a bad reputation because there are people having surgeries that shouldn't be having surgeries, or they're having too aggressive surgeries that they don't really need. I see that all too often. So we started adding regenerative medicine after I did some retraining and re-education a few years back, and the most efficient source in my practice is off the shelf. So we get these from donors, and the donors are non-COVID vaccinated mothers who are going to have a planned C-section. They're screened in the first trimester. They can't be drinking, using drugs. They can't be smoking. They can only have one romantic partner. They have to be disease-free. They have to be on prenatal vitamins. It's a very stringent process through the Tissue Bank Donor Services. So it's highly regulated and done right. And then the material is sent immediately to labs, particular labs, frozen, like on ice. And there again, it's tested for every virus you can name. And endotoxin and all kinds of things, quarantined for 2 weeks, and only made available to clinics like mine after that process is completed. And that lab process is FDA certified, FDA compliant.
Interesting. Is that placental product or umbilical cord blood derived?
So we're talking about stem cells here, but really we've gotten away from stem cells. We're using stem cell signaling factors, which are growth factors and exosomes. Those are the vesicles given off by stem cells, because it turns out they're really doing the work of the stem cells anyway. So they're from the amniotic fluid. It's a filtered, fresh frozen amniotic fluid product.
Interesting. And then from that purified product, how long can that last? Does that have any amount of reasonable shelf life?
In my -30°C freezer, I can keep it up to a couple years, I believe.
Interesting. So then when you go to treat a patient, will you always use that same donor product for that particular patient?
Not necessarily. It depends on our goals and what we're doing. That's the best product I have, currently. Although I have some patients who have donated their own stem cells, autologous stem cells, and they're at a tissue bank and they ask me to use those, which we can. It's just way more expensive. These amniotic products are really the best bang for the buck. They're about a third of the price of a competing stem cell product for an effective similar dose.
What type of volumes do you have to use? Is it very super concentrated amniotic fluid,
No,
or is it like
not at all. It's for like if we're I do a lot more joints in addition to spine these days, since you can't not do joints. That's the low-hanging fruit in the regenerative field. So if we treat a knee, that's anywhere from anything's based on dose. So a dose would be a 2 cc dose. So anywhere from 2 to 5 doses would be a typical knee, depending on the specific pathologies and clinical correlation with imaging. Usually high quality MRIs, a 3 Tesla MRI. We order some additional sequences that are not necessarily part of the standard because we want to be precise about targeting so we can get the best results. And the literature on this is amazing. It's from Europe because we're late to the party here, of course. So they've been doing this in Europe for over 20 years. This is not new. We're not inventing anything. This has been done with success. There is medical evidence supporting such.
What kind of injuries can be repaired in terms of joints or spine with this type of treatment, and how many sessions do people have to go through?
Well, I'm going to answer those in reverse. Typically, it's a one and done, and the literature supports that. The French literature shows that in their 15-year follow-up studies, over 80 some percent, 82%, I think, of the patients were able to avoid surgery that they needed at the beginning if they had the proper injection. So once. So we try to do a one and done. Now, of course, 15, 20 years later, if you go back to sports and doing things, you may degenerate again. But the low-hanging fruit here is really degenerative cartilage issues. So we really want to use the regeneratives to stimulate cartilage production, cartilage repair, cartilage maintenance, lubrication, basically trying to turn that joint into a more youthful state. So anyone with cartilage wear and tear through the process of joint degeneration, which is often vaguely referred to as osteoarthritis, and that really is overbroad. It doesn't fully describe the process. Those are the people we see. Some people say, "Well, I have a tear." Well, yeah, the tear is not necessarily the problem. The tear came from a dried out, degenerated cartilage. So anything that involves that process, we have been seeing some great results with.
Interesting. What are some of the biggest misconceptions out there regarding stem cells and their use for bioregenerative treatments?
Well, there's still a great number of people who think you have to leave the country to go get them. And it's true that that was a thing 20 years ago. And it's still a lot of people go to Central America or Mexico because those clinics can advertise here in the US because these things are not yet approved for marketing claims. We can't advertise them. So we have to be very careful and compliant. So there's not a loud voice here in the US, but it is here. That's the first one. Secondly, that somehow they're illegal. No, they're not illegal. It's non-compliant to make marketing claims. So, and this is true for stem cells, exosomes, and PRP. And you use PRP in your practice, I'm sure, and many, many doctors do. And even some crazy as it is, health insurance companies will cover PRP now for joints. So, because the people looking at the dollars figured out that's cheaper than the surgery. So that's not yet approved for marketing claims. Also, people sometimes over rely. I hear this myth that it's illegal to do stem cells here. No, now it's improper and maybe illegal in some places to use embryonic stuff. That means from a fetus, but there are no reports of aborted fetuses being used for this process in the US. So you could take that myth off the table. And then probably lastly is the cost. People think it's cost prohibitive. No, it's probably a lot cheaper, especially with the exosome products, to have one injection to help a knee or a lower back joint or something than have the surgery and the pain and the downtime and the missed work and all that complications that can risk that could go with that.
That makes sense. In terms of exosomes, there's been an explosion of exosomes on the aesthetic marketplace. I don't know if you've had the same
Yes.
thing in neurosurgery and orthopedics and spine work. Have you seen many
Yes.
companies pop up? And what are your thoughts on how they're promoting advertising or like their actual efficacy and actual content of active ingredients within what they're selling?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up because you're right. Exosomes are a very huge buzzword now in the facial cosmetic arena, skin products, hair products or scalp products. Here in the clinic, we do some injections of the fresh frozen amniotic exosomes that come with the growth factors. So you get the best of the PRP. You get the best of the amniotic fluid, right? Which is the baby making good stuff, right? This is like putting your body back into the womb in some areas. And let's look at an example. You have kids, women who have been pregnant or know pregnant people will say that the pregnant lady in her last trimester has glowing skin and growing hair
Yes,
So
actually.
why is that? And that's because she's getting a daily dose of exosomes that go through the placental membrane into her body. She's getting a daily dose of this stuff. She's not getting stem cells because stem cells are too big to cross into the placenta. So, and plus, remember, those cells from the baby are half the genetic material is half from the father. So that's foreign to her. We don't want her to reject the baby. So of course, the cells aren't really circulating through her system. It's the exosomes. So the exosomes are doing the work. That should be proof of that right there. So exosomes are helping that pregnant woman's skin, but they have to come from the inside out. A lot of the topical preparations are from lyophilized material, and I know you know what that means, but for some of the listeners, that means the material has been dried and powdered, if you will, and it's lost its bioactivity. So plus, the skin is an amazing barrier, right? It's hard to get anything through the skin, even moisture. Like we work very hard to get moisture through the skin, right? So it's tough really to use a product just because it contains exosomes that came from a lyophilized source. They're probably not doing that much. Now, if you had like a microneedle and maybe have some painted on top of that, let it flow through the channels. Or if you have a micro injection device, you can probably get some benefits. We do a little bit of that here. You can't not have access to the stuff and not make that available. So, and the IV systemic is just like a pregnant woman gets, right? Helps the skin from the inside out. There is a coming product that will be a fresh frozen product that will sit in someone's refrigerator because it will never be powdered. It's the same amniotic fluid mixed in a cream base that has the right molecular weight to allow some passage through the epidermis, which is tough. Epidermis is a thick layer.
Interesting. I also agree that the lyophilized exosomes have, very little activity when you actually check and see that they're not reconstituted as vesicles. When you they go from freeze-dried to liquid, there's something lost in the processing of that.
Agreed.
In terms of spinal and nerve health, how does that intersect with kind of our aging and energy levels and, overall health and longevity? I think we assume we all take for granted this amazing spine and nervous system that we're built with, but what are kind of some of the problems as things start to break down and what happens first?
Well, like with the aging process itself affecting the nervous system, it's an accumulation of chronic inflammatory damage. Our cells in that system or in any system get degraded through a process of chronic inflammation. And chronic inflammation brings a higher risk of disease and a faster biological aging. So and we know this, you can look at two 80-year-old women and one might be youthful and has great skin and is active, has good muscle mass, plays tennis, and one is, can barely get out of her chair and has many more wrinkles. And that's a sign that over those years, one of them accumulated a lot more inflammation and degraded their tissues faster than the other one. So you can age biologically or physiologically at different rates, even though you have the same birthday. So this affects the nervous system, and you know, there's this word that people use called inflammaging, where aging is based on inflammation. It's a great word. So when you look at regenerative medicine, we look at stem cell-derived exosomes or stem cells, they really influence our cells in an anti-inflammatory way. They reprogram them to behave in an optimal functioning way, like they did when they were younger, in a more restorative, more youthful, regenerative way. That's the basis of regenerative medicine. And really, those optimal pathways are anti-inflammatory pathways. So you turn on the cells to become more anti-inflammatory, and then you suppress, slow, and po possibly reverse the whole inflammatory, inflammaging, the damage. And as that applies to the nervous system, it could help with neuropathy, could help after a neurologic injury like brain injury or a traumatic brain injury or a stroke. Anything with an inflammatory component like autoimmune, you know, issues like multiple sclerosis, MS. Even Alzheimer's has an inflammatory component to the mistangled proteins. So anything we can do to suppress that over-inflammation, that hyper-inflammation, will help the issue at the cellular level and slow the disease and aging process at the cellular level.
And you mentioned that these treatments are not exorbitantly expensive, but they must be a little expensive. What does this type of thing cost if you're getting a amniotic fluid stem cell growth factor infusion?
Well, if you came here and said, "Hey, I've got an autoimmune issue. I'd like to suppress the inflammation. How much is an IV?" Depending on the dose, it might be as little as just under $4,000. And for some people, that might be their deductible or their copay when you add them up for the year. You know, so.
Interesting. Do you think this will become any kind of standard of care for neurodegenerative disorders like MS or like a treatment post-stroke? Like, I wonder why they don't do more with stroke patients, you know?
I do think it's coming, and I think that, you know, unfortunately, it'll have to be monetized by big pharma to make that happen, and then, you know, they get it in with the Medicare, then Medicare will start paying for it, that kind of thing. I don't know if that helps it or not, but it's available, it's out there. We do it, and there are results in the literature, so we're not just shooting from the hip.
In terms of like ethical or safety standards that patients should look for if they can't, you know, if they're not sure of what's out there in their community and everything seems like a red flag, what truly is baseline ethical and safety standards they should look for?
Well, I think that the gold standard is your clinician who's offering a bioregenerative product. You want to make sure that the product, you want to know the count, whether it's cells or exosomes. You want to know the count because you see some products out there, for example, in the exosome industry, you know, an IV of 50 billion, that's nothing. You know, we give trillions in an IV often. That's one thing you want to know that. So that's kind of the dose. So some people are basically giving you a watered down dose, and that's just because you know you've heard the word stem cells or exosomes. Secondly, you want to make sure it comes from an FDA certified lab, even though the marketing claims aren't yet approved by the FDA. That doesn't mean you couldn't get stuff that's regulated by, you know, a very tight set of regulations. So these labs are supposed to use third-party testing, and have, you know, sterility standards and handling standards, et cetera. So all that's important. And I'd say third, you want to make sure that you're getting a fresh product, or that if it comes from a culture, which means the cells are in a flask or a petri dish somewhere, putting off the exosomes, creating the exosomes, that those exosomes aren't, and those cells haven't been divided multiple times. Like, I think you're allowed of three divisions. So I don't love the stuff from culture because cells, that's not their normal state to live in culture. Even though we try to simulate that, the normal state is the amniotic fluid. So I like stuff that's not been cultured, just straight from the womb. So when we give product, it's from the womb to ice, to the lab freezer, to my freezer, to the patient. So The chain of evidence is basically from the womb to cold to you.
Wow, that's super direct. And then ethically speaking, I think we talked a little bit about embryonic stem cells. Like what's the current state of California, for example, on the use of embryologic derived products? Do you know?
Well, I'm not gonna I'm practicing in Las Vegas now, so
Oh.
I don't know about California's got all kinds of issues, as you know, but
Vegas is like the Wild West. You could do everything.
well, I that's not necessarily why I'm here, but the we don't have embryonic tissues accessible to us in the in certain research settings. There are embryonic cells. The real interesting work is being done by taking non-embryonic cells, meaning perinatal tissues from the umbilical cord, and giving them some growth factors called Yamanaka factors, and reverting them back to a pluripotent state. So m usual stem cell therapies are multipotent, which means they can help, help our cells, help our tissues and what have you, but they can't grow a limb or something. Well, pluripotent has a lot more potential to do many things. It's kind of moving them back along the embryonic lineage of the cell. So, but we can create them, and there are a lot of work in it's called induced pluripotent stem cell therapies in the cancer realm right now. They have various different approaches using those techniques, but Big Pharma's got their fingers on that. So, let's see what happens.
Amazing. You speak all the time at biohacking conferences and anti-aging conferences. What are kind of your top three favorite biohacks to have good neurologic health and spine health and like brain function?
Well, these are going to sound easy. Like we heard from our parents and grandparents, you gotta move, you gotta exercise. You have to make you're we are made to be locomotive and move. And if you do not move, and a lot of us, here we are sitting at our desks doing a broadcast, we're sitting a lot. You've got to move. You've got to exercise strategically. And the longer you maintain your muscle mass, the longer you will live. Muscle mass is associated with longevity. Number two is we can't eat 24 hours a day. So I'm a big believer now in circadian eating, meaning we eat when it's the sun's out and we don't eat when the sun's down. We're not supposed to. We're supposed to repair in a fasted state during the night. And what happens? We go home, we turn on the Netflix, maybe we get our laptops out, we sit on the couch. And you sit there long enough, oh, I'm hungry. I could use a snack. No, we should be in bed. Go to bed. Get restorative sleep. So I would say proper sleep, proper timing of eating, and exercise. I mean, I could list 20 more, but those are probably the three simplest ones. Just like your grandmother told you, eat healthy, exercise, and get a full night's rest, right? This is not news.
How about supplement stacks or,
Yeah.
things that
Well,
give
listen.
cognitive benefit?
You can supplement like crazy. I do lots of different supplementation, but a few brief comments as not to turn this into a supplement talk, but we really need to take things that support the suppression of inflammation. So a good probiotic, because we want to take care of our gut microbiome. That's good for your skin. It's good for your brain. It's associated with reduction in dementia instances. I like at bedtime, I like magnesium and melatonin. Both support not just sleep, but support cell repair. The type of cell activities that happen during the night are different during the ones during the day. During the day, we eat, we're busy, we're cortisol, we're stressed, we're inflamed. At night, we're supposed to repair that and cancel it out. So if you're not doing that, if you go to bed with food in your tummy, you're not doing that. If you don't have the right amount of melatonin, you're not doing that. If you don't have enough magnesium, your cells can't do their processes to repair. So you got to do that. I also am a big fan of omega-3. I take 3 grams of fish oil a day. So 3 big pills spread throughout the day. We don't get enough of that. We used to get it in our meat before our meat was grain fed. They would free range on various greens and grasses, and a lot of those grasses had omega-3s. They don't now. They're all the soil's leached, the pesticides, all that crap. It's just horrible. So, and then more recently, we launched in May a plant-based exosome product. So I'm big on that now. So it turns out exosomes are made by plant cells. In fact, most of the phytonutrients are encapsulated by exosomes by plant cells. So if you look at, let's talk about some phytonutrients like resveratrol, quercetin, fisetin, spermidine, most of the B vitamins except B12 and vitamin C, these are just examples, are all encapsulated by plants in exosomes. So if you're taking a supplement for any of those, you've got that from a company that took those plants, powdered them up, opened the exosomes, took out the individual nutrient. You have to then take that orally, digest it, and you lose some there. Goes into your bloodstream, you lose some there, some gets into your cell. Well, some vitamin companies figured out that you could take some of these nutrients and put a little fatty membrane on it called a liposome and get better cell delivery, right? Liposomal vitamins, liposomal this, liposomal that. Vitamin D, another one I'm a fan of. You can get a liposomal. Well, wait a minute, nature's already figured this out. A liposome is a synthetic plant exosome. So we found a lab in Italy that could actually extract the exosomes from plants. We curated some organic fruits in Italy that are known for their anti-aging qualities in the Mediterranean blue zone. Citrus fruits, papaya, mango, bergamot, things like that. And we now have a single capsule, and it represents, you'd have to eat 70 times that in juice and even more than that in fruit to get the phytonutrients. And on top of that, you get better cell delivery. So it's somewhere between 700 and 3,500 times more concentrated cell delivery than a regular nutrient. So that's been our big first product in this realm. So we've learned a lot there.
That's amazing. What's the name of it and how do we get it? Again, thanks.
Longevex, Longevex, because these are exosomes for longevity. And you can go to RecellNutra, RecellNutra.com, and try some. And we would love your feedback.
Would love to try it.
Thank you.
I mean, sometimes I s discuss plant exosomes in terms of aesthetic use, where people are recommending them for topical cosmeceutical skin benefits, but I have been doubtful, just thinking that, plant cells and human cells have, we don't have cell walls. Like, how are the message of DNA and RNA messaging is different? But it makes a lot of sense as far as like vitamin and antioxidant production. That makes a lot more sense to me. Phytonutrients.
What's really cool is this is how plants talk to us, cell to cell, through their exosomes. Yeah.
Can you share for us some kind of amazing, compelling story about a patient who needed surgery or had a surgery that failed and then tried a regenerative treatment for their spine or neurologic condition, and what you kind of
Yeah.
showed, and what's the timeline for success with something like that?
Yeah. So the some patients have neck and back pain from the joints of along the back of the spine called the facet joints, and all too often they get an MRI and another physician who maybe just looked at the MRI and didn't really spend time with them sees a slipped disc, and they do a surgery on the disc, maybe a fusion surgery, and the patient's not better because it wasn't the disc causing the pain. It was these joints, and it never took the time to examine the patient, to evaluate those joints, to maybe do a test block to numb the joints to see if the pain goes away temporarily. So we have a growing number of patients in this category, and one in particular I can remember early on where we injected the exosome, the amniotic exosomes, into the facet joints that we confirmed already with like a lidocaine injection that were causing the pain. And it took a good 6 months, maybe a little longer. And that patient has now been nearly pain-free for a number of years. I say nearly because There's no spine procedure that's curative, right? No surgery is curative, no injection is curative. But this person has gone back to sports and can sleep through the night. So we're really happy we're able to overcome their kind of botched case. But another, if I can give you one other, I have this wonderful, sweet woman. She's 79 when she first came to me. And she was retired, and she could she would her hobby was painting these little river rocks. Well, not so little, maybe like to be paperweights. So she would bring one and colorfully painted and decorated, and she would give them to the postman and the FedEx delivery person, what have you. Anyway, she developed osteoarthritis. Her fingers were cramped and tight, and she couldn't paint anymore. Her knees were hurting. We did a single IV of the Exosome product. And the next day she called and she's like, "I'm painting. I'm so happy. When do I do it again?" And I said, "You let me know. When it wears off, you'll let me know." It was over a year before we heard from her. So we suppressed that inflammatory osteoarthritic process enough for her to have a clinical benefit, and she could have the quality of life that she wanted and paint her happy rocks.
I love that. I think that the whole paradigm shift in how we treat arthritis needs to change to more of this bioregenerative and also like like you said, inflammaging. It's more of the inflammatory mediators that are affecting the joints versus
Right.
the joints themselves having physical destruction that needs repair. Stop the inflammation and the joint will repair.
Well, most of the time, if you get it early enough, absolutely. So we take a lot of people who may have had a sports injury. Maybe they had a knee scope when they were in college or something, playing in sport. And then they're doing okay, but we know those knee scopes, although helpful, do accelerate the degeneration of that knee, removing that piece of meniscus or whatever. So some of those people come to us when they start to get a little achy, so we can get to them early and try to help them restore some of the cartilage and reverse the process and move them away from joint replacement risk.
Yeah, I love that idea. Where do you see the future of stem cell therapies and regenerative medicine going in the next 5 years, 10 years?
Well, I think it's going to become more mainstream. There'll be more and more clinics, places you can get these things, improved access to them. Like some of the insurance companies that pay for PRP, maybe they'll start paying for other things within the regenerative medicine umbrella, like stem cells and exosomes. I think we're going to have more designer exosomes stuffed with mitochondria to help with muscle gains or muscle mass, particularly in the frail and the elderly. Because that helps with longevity. We already see benefits in bone density with using some of these things. I think we will see also more potentially other designer type of exosomes, some that are more useful for skin or hair regrowth. We do you may do in your clinic some PRP injections in the scalp for thinning hair, that's another application for some of the exosomes as well. And I imagine we're going to get even better at combining the peptides with the exosomes to enhance the biological desire, in this case, follicular stimulation of hair, things like that.
That sounds incredible. Are you currently in the biohacking world? Are you doing any peptides or injectable treatments yourself? What do you think?
Always many. We're always you. My refrigerator at home. My wife and I are always injecting. We have now. We're doing the oral strips. We're trying for some of these that have they have these dissolvable strips for your mouth, because sometimes the oral peptides really don't get the type of absorption you need. They get digested in your stomach into amino acids, right? So they now have these strips you can put. They have a BPC 157 strip for your mouth, a few others. But we're always injecting stuff. Right now we're trying some DSIP to improve our sleep, which is the delta sleep inducing peptide. Or we've
Yeah,
got
it's that
some
one. So you're doing
we're still playing with it.
BPC.
Check back with me. We're still trying to dose it right. We use growth hormone secretagogues to stimulate growth hormone release. Because
So
we're in the
like
gym.
tesamorelin or epitalon.
Yeah, we happen to have some ipamorelin, depending on how you pronounce it. And then we have we've done some mitochondrial support, some MOTC. We're always got some GHKCU. I've got some topical as well for hair and skin. And yeah,
Is there
we're always
anything
trying.
What's your philosophy? Trying one peptide for 3 or 4 weeks and seeing how you feel, and then trying the next? Or are you just kind of like doing a lot of things all at once?
Well, I think I do like to try to be scientific and try one at a time, at least when you're getting to learn what something does for you. And then when you have your right recipe, you could cycle on and off or go between. But something like Ipamorelin, I think we'd always be taking, that's more of a, I want to continue that one. And these aren't not by themselves, right? You have to do the whole, anti-inflammatory life, and that might include hormone optimization for men and for women, right? Your cells are less inflamed and work better in the right biochemical state.
Yeah, interesting. So then that means you're like 95.
Yeah, I'm pushing
You look
95.
great.
Thank you. No, I'm pushing 60 though. And but
Oh gosh, you
we're
look
working
so
hard
good.
to, thank you. We want to feel good. We want to look good. We want to have the right body composition, and it's you got to do the work.
You got to do the work. Yeah, there's no easy route. It's funny, it all boils down to the things our grandparents told us too. Like, without those, you got
Right?
nothing. It doesn't matter what peptides you're on. But just in closing thoughts, is there anything, one thing you wish everyone knew about their spine or nervous system? How to keep it in good health?
Yeah, I think, I'm very interested these days in the autonomic nervous system. And for those listeners that
Yes,
don't know,
vagus
it,
nerves. Yes.
yeah, yeah, you knew where I was headed with that. It's that we're all, it's such a stressful life, right? We've got information bombarded at us through our phones and television screens and what have you. When we were kids, it wasn't that much. And it's just more and more and more. And it's the overstimulation causes high cortisol issues, obesity. There's so much going on there. You have to really find that mental downtime. And a lot of companies have these vagal nerve stimulators, these external devices you just hold on your neck for, I don't know, 15 minutes or something, you get and go, calm, breathe, do your breathing. Now, if you did a good yoga practice or meditation, you can probably not need one of those, but you got to do that stuff. You got to actually have the mental downtime, which is another reason why you need a full night's rest. So I think that's one little thing I'm learning more about that I think people should tap into for longevity.
How about the vagal nerve blocks and the sympathetic nerve block, parasympathetic blocks?
Yeah, those can be useful, particularly a lot of post-traumatic stress and anxiety syndromes that are severe. You can have a sympathetic block. So you're trying to block the fight or flight system and calm it down because it's overactive. We see a lot of dysfunction in the autonomic system in the post-COVID world. So, people have POTS, right? Their blood pressure drops and they feel like they're going to pass out, or they do pass out, stuff like that. There's something going on, and we need to control that autonomic system. So you want to be like a Jedi master and be able to control your nervous system. And one way you can do that is to improve your HRV. So if anyone out there is wearing health tech like an Apple Watch or Oura Ring or Whoop Band or a Garmin or one of the other rings that are out there, you can measure your heart rate variability, and you'll learn to control that through sleep and proper exercise, but not over exercising and not putting bad substances in your body and not drinking too much, that kind of thing. And if you get your HRV dialed in, that means your autonomic nervous system is you've got more control of it. It's you have the right balance, the right yin and yang.
Well, we have so much to look forward to, and like that was such an informative podcast. Where can people find you if they want to reach out and try therapy or work on their spine problems with you?
Reach out to Recelebrate. It's the name of our practice because we're celebrating the renewal of your cells. That's RECELLEBRATE. So recelebrate.com or recelebrate on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. Basically, I think that we've pretty much cornered the internet on that word.
Good branding. I like it. Well, and your personal Instagram, is it the same? It's under Recelebrate.
Yeah, just find us at Recelebrate.
Perfect. Well, you can definitely learn more about this next generation of bioregenerative therapies. I'm so glad we chatted because I think people do have some fears and they do think that they have to go to Mexico to get stem cell treatments done. And it's sort of this cloaked in secrecy process that costs, $30,000 to $50,000, and I think there's so much misconceptions out there, but very safe and reliable products available to use in the US too. So that's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DRKAY, doing amazing things with people's faces. And our website is the same. It's beautybydrk.com. And there will be so much more to follow. I'm going to teach you guys so much more about bioregenerative therapies, longevity, improving your beauty span, and all the things that are so important. Everything we do on the inside reflects on the outside. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.